me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman, and we are living our purpose each and every day, hopefully. If not, hopefully with this show you will get some information that will help you live your purpose and find out what that is. Let's see. Simple thing here today. Our guest today is going to be Amy Bovaire. Bovaire, and I said the name wrong, sorry. Probably even do better than that when she gets on. She's trying to use the Skype feature on this show, so hopefully we'll see how that works. If not, in a moment I will walk anybody else through it that's trying to get on Skype. And let's see. Hopefully, now today I am broadcasting from a computer lab, so hopefully we have a little less sound in the background, although there's still copy machines, printers, and things like that going on. And we'll see how it goes. Okay, so for anyone who wants to get on to the Skype portion of the show, in the Purpose Talk Radio, on the Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio, at the link where you go to see the show, or if you're on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page, there is a VTR link. You click on that and go to where the phone number is. Right next to that is a Skype icon. At that icon, click on it, and it will click you through the stuff that you need to be able to get on the Skype portion of the show. Otherwise, folks, call in. Now, to participate in this show, sorry, things seem to be a little jumbled here. Like I said, I'm trying to give some instructions to our guest as well as the notes that just popped up here in front of me. So, okay, as I said, welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. The purpose of this show is to have our guests who are living their purpose, wanting to share with others how they came to know it is, and what they suggest to you to be able to live your purpose. And hopefully you learn some things out of that. There's a couple of housekeeping things here that I'd like to share with you. The first is there are several ways that you can participate in this show. The first is to come on through Skype, as I just described. The other is to call into the show at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And the third, actually, there's two more. One is at the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio show page here. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, you will find a chat room, and that is open for you. And we have got that going on, and you can put comments in there. However, at the end of the show, all of those comments disappear. So if you'd like to keep your comments relevant and up to date with the show, go over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook and feel free to type some comments in there as to what resonates with you. There is a discussion thread pinned to the very top of the page of that group so that you can type things in as we go along. If there's something that resonates with you, questions, whatever, feel free to get that to us that way as well. So, let's see. Having said that, I think we're going to be keeping Amy on the phone because it does not look like she's able to get in on Skype, and that's fine, too. We can do that a little bit. But our topic today is walking by faith without sight to your purpose. You know, folks know that I have done some information that I have experienced some blindness myself, and you know, that is not necessarily what why I've got the guest on today. She actually contacted me, which is pretty cool, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the issues that she has going through the blindness as well, actually, of starting to lose her hearing as well. So, again, feel free to participate in calling in with questions as we move forward and have things go on here for the day. The song that you heard a little bit ago, it is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. That group being Rachel Martinez, Jillian Clark, and myself. The voice that you heard was Jillian. And we created that song, oh, geez, we're figuring it out, about 5 years ago. And both of those ladies are headed to the Posse Music Awards this upcoming weekend, well, 2 weekends, excuse me. Again, unfortunately, I can't quite get there due to some financial constraints right now. And I wish them the best, and they're reuniting, and hopefully Jillian and Rachel can come up with some times when maybe we can write some more again, because I miss those girls, and, you know, it's a lot of fun to be writing and, you know, having, I don't know, it's both a way to share the emotions, and at the same time, it's a way to express how we're feeling and finding ways into spirit and doing all that. So it is a lot of fun. So having said that, I'm going to bring Amy on here and see what we've got. Hello, Amy. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
There we go. I guess we're going to leave you on the phone, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there was some kind of a problem with that with your, yeah. But I'm really excited to be here, to be talking to you today.
That's okay. So what part of the country are you living this winter right now in?
It is very cold here. I'm in northwest Pennsylvania. The weather this morning the temperature was negative 17 with a chill factor of negative 29. So very cold here.
Okay, you have me beat. I must say, you have me beat. We're actually supposed to go up into the 20s and possibly the 30s today, even though, mind you, it has been bitterly cold the last several days. It was 30
yeah.
below winds, and they had the, you know, the frostbite warnings yesterday. We'll see
yeah.
how that goes. And I saw some stuff on Facebook, too, that people that were just frigid over there. So hopefully it warms up a little bit for you soon.
Yeah.
Are you a skier or snowshoeing or do any of that other stuff? Because I know you do get out and wander around, whether, you know, in spite of the vision loss, which we'll discuss more about, but do you get out and do any of that winter sports, or would you just as soon stay inside?
Oh, no, I'm out and about. And
okay.
Taking walks and getting errands done, yeah, I'm out there.
Okay. Well, cool. So, folks, I want to tell you a little bit more about Amy. This is unbeknownst to her, Spirit gave me a different direction to take this interview yesterday. Not that we're changing the topic, just changing the order of what I normally do. So just a little heads up there. So, but our topic today is walking by faith without sight through your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Bovard, is it Bovard? Bovard? Is that how
Bovard,
you say
yeah.
your name? Bovard, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my computer just decided to, like, take the bio and wants to put up a different screen instead. Let's see if we can make this one go away so that I can get to what I need. There we go. But as it said, you know, Amy Bovard is visually impaired Christian author, ghostwriter, and speaker. when she was 28 years old, doctors diagnosed her with retinitis pigmentosa, what is known as RP, degenerative eye disease that eventually caused blindness. Later, she learned that which is the leading cause of both blindness and deafness. And I want to put a little aside in here that for most people, ushers typically lose the hearing first, then their sight. For Amy, and the opposite, where she's losing the sight, and then it's just now starting to lose some of the hearing. But in spite of all this, she continues to enjoy running, hiking, traveling. She also volunteers at local animal rescue organizations and is involved on a national scale as well. Having taught in Latin America, Southeast Asia, and Middle East for most of her teaching career, Amy often features glimpses of the culture in her writing. She blogs about the challenges she faces as she loses more vision and now the hearing. And more importantly, she shares the lessons God reveals to her through those difficulties. So, officially, welcome again, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you for being here. And we've got, you know, a lot of pieces of information to do. You know, normally I ask what people's aha moment is to what they're doing now, but I want to back up instead, and
mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, you know, when you were in high school or grade school or college, whatever, what were your plans for your career, what were you doing?
When I was in high school, I wanted to be in the Peace Corps. And that was my overriding goal. I thought I would just help work in developing countries and, you know, work with people. I had a real love for that, and travel and developing countries. And I had sponsored a child in Christian Children's Fund, which is now Child World. And I had mm-hmm. a little girl in Brazil. So that kind of incited my desire to do that. And I love languages. So I thought I would do humanitarian work, you know.
There you go. You speak languages, several languages also at this point?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I studied Spanish in high school. And every other country that I've traveled to, I've learned the language of that country. So.
Okay. Cool. Well,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did go in the Peace Corps for a while?
I didn't. No, it didn't work out that way. I wanted to work for this Christian Children's Fund, and they didn't take non-local workers, so I didn't go that direction at first, you know. I became a teacher instead.
Okay. And you were instructing students in what then?
Well, in different countries, my first teaching job was in Colombia, South America, and I graduated with a new degree, which was called Teaching English as a Foreign Language or as a Second Language, and that was way back in the 80s, so there weren't really any teaching jobs in the United States in where I lived in Northwest Pennsylvania, so I just coupled it with mission work. And missions, and I met some missionaries, and I worked in the same country, in the same school that they did. So that's how I started my career over.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you've been to, you know, there's a lot about the Middle East that we're hearing in the news right now, and the Latin American countries and things. You know, put you on the spot a little bit. You know, is that what you experienced, or did you have a different experience over there from what we're hearing in the news over here in the States now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that question? Your voice is breaking up.
Sure. You know, we're hearing a lot in the news now about the Middle East and Latin American countries and things like that. Was your experience over there anything like what we're hearing in the news, or was your experience different from that's going on right now?
About dangers, are you saying? The things that we hear in the news. When I was in Colombia, there was there's all the drug wars So they were extraditing. They were threatening to kill two Americans for every person that the Colombian that they extradited. I went at during that time. And my mother was a little bit weary of that. Yeah. And I think at different, at various times there have been some kind of political problems, but I just trusted God, you know. And I continued. I think I was very bullheaded. And, you know, when I was in, sometimes, you know, there's two parts to me. There's the writer part and there's the teacher part. The writer part wants to know if what is the news, what is being said in the news is true. So I went to Nicaragua with the idea that I was going to see it. That was during the Contra time, you know, and during the Contra scandal and everything. And I wanted to know if what they were saying in the newspaper was true. So I went there and ended up being by myself and did some research. And I don't know, it was quite the adventure. I remember writing home and telling my, like those aerograms they used to have. And I told my father that I was sitting 500 feet from an army tank. So that was not something my mother was happy with.
Yeah, did they threaten to come over and take you back home?
Yeah.
I think mine might have, that's for sure. Get back here immediately. I don't care what age you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents.
Yeah.
Still make sure it's safe. Okay, so you teaching, and when did the diagnosis for the RP come in? Well, you were overseas,
yes.
Or was it back at home?
I was teaching overseas. I used to teach in, like, different kinds of teaching. Every country that I traveled in, I lived in seven different countries, and every time I had a different type of job teaching English. And, like, sometimes I taught children, sometimes I taught adults, sometimes I taught college students, other times military, international military, under the U.S. Government. So it just depended where I went. And usually wherever I went, I was with the church. I mean, the church was there. So I would, whatever, I would work with the church as well on my own time. So it was always kind of coupled with missions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the retinitis pigmentosa, so when was that diagnosed in all of this? Was this while you were overseas teaching? Was it while you were back in the States here? Does that fall into the timeline? While you were overseas or while you were in the States?
Well, when I was in the States, sometimes they sent me overseas as part of their program to set a language program up. Like when I worked for a while for Lackland Air Force Base, and they sent me overseas. I went to Egypt, I went to Japan, I went to Taiwan with them. So sometimes I was on an Army base, Navy actually, it was Navy base in Japan. And other times they just put us up, you know. But we always worked with military in those situations, you know.
Okay.
And,
did you get the blindness diagnosis? I think we're having a problem. You're not moving across hearing, but I'm asking. And when did the blindness, the diagnosis for the blindness come in?
Okay.
Where were you at the time?
It's always, the time that I found out about it was 89, and that was after I was in Indonesia. I had just got a job to Indonesia. And they said that I was going blind. I just went for stronger glasses, you know. And I was having problems seeing at night. And I thought, oh, I just need stronger glasses. And I actually had to make the decision then if I'm going to trust God and continue to travel overseas or if I'm going to let that stop me. I thought I was going to go blind overnight, you know. They told me to look for another. The doctor had told me to look for another job. And I took 2 weeks out and I just thought about my life and if I wanted to live in fear of this blindness, you know, and I decided that God could take care of me as well overseas as he could here in the States. So I decided to go ahead with my career goal. And I think because what I had is progressive. So it wasn't at the point that it was so noticeable. People just thought I was clumsy, you know. And it progressively got worse into, like, from being clumsy to running into teachers and knocking over their coffee to going in for stitches because I ran into a wall or, you know, whatever, you know.
You don't want to knock over somebody's coffee. That could be the problem.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yes. They thought I was very scatterbrained. And, you know, I didn't care because I was still living my dream. So if they wanted to think I was scatterbrained, let them think that. You know, that was my, you know, you just keep adapting. And I could always find ways to get around it, you know. And I could still do my job. I could still live my dream. So it was all right, you know, with me. Just the last place where I lived in the Middle East, that was where it became a problem because that's when I started getting stitches and falling downstairs. And I also actually had some problems hearing, but I wasn't paying attention so much to that. I just thought, well, gosh, these students are talking a lot. I can't hear them very well. But I guess I was in denial all those years, you know, because I could keep adapting, you know. And so it's like it's sneaky. It's very sneaky. It quote unquote trips you up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really don't have to face it because you just keep adapting, you know, until it comes to a point that you can't adapt anymore. And that happened in 2008, 2009. And I, you know, people started thinking that I was drunk. And, you know, I had come back to live in the United States by that time. My father had cancer and he passed away. So I came back to help my mom and to, you know, to help the family out. And I wasn't working and I had just got a job at a Christian school in my area. And my friend told me, you know, you really need to do something about this. You can't have a career here and people thinking you're drunk, you know. So it was at that point that it reached a decision. I had to make a decision about my life, another decision.
Did you ever tell your colleagues or your students what was going on, or were you just forcing yourself to adapt to it?
Myself, you know, yeah. And yeah, it was just, at that point.
Okay. So, your family knew, though, right? Your family knew, even if your fellow teachers didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I live above my family's house now. We made a granny flat kind of thing. My father had sort of planned it out. And so I was, you know, I came in here pretty shortly after that. And after we had my apartment built. So it's like an apartment on top of the house, you know. And yeah. So after I sort of came to some conclusions, we kind of fused the two where I could help my family and then I'm not on my own completely, you know.
Mm-hmm. So at what point were you able to say and admit to yourself or other people that, look, you know, I'm not drunk. I'm going blind. I am losing my hearing. You know, at what point were you able to say it? Are you still even able to say it? I know for me it took a long time. So
yeah.
I, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was 2009. It's the whole year that I wrote my book about. You know, it's that I had a new job, two new jobs, teaching one at a college and one, I was teaching Spanish at this Christian high school. And I really, I was figuring, and I was finding out the hearing problem. I had like 50% hearing loss at that time as well. And so it took me about a year before I was comfortable with saying that I was losing my vision. And I couldn't even say the word blind. For some reason, I didn't see myself that way, you know. And until I really, I met people that explained to me what blindness is, that it's not like blind-sighted, that it's a whole continuum, you know. And it's like this whole thing you have to get over, this whole fear. Fear is part of it. And the other one is, social acceptance, you know, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. because you're different, people begin to see you differently, you know. And I think that fear of losing independence, when you're actually, when you admit it to yourself, you're gaining independence, you know. But you don't see it that way right away.
Right. It's a matter of, okay, so if you...
Yeah, the whole time you're hiding it. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take on learning that braille and learning to use the cane, the white or the red and white cane, whichever you use, straight canes or the folding canes, or whatever, mm-hmm. and you take that on, like you said, you know, you don't have to rely on somebody else to tell you where your copy is or to tell you where the... where the curve is, because you'll start learning those things, and you know, you take back your own destiny, your own independence by learning those skills, those mobility, overall mobility skills, looking in, and braille and canes and all of that. I lump all that together, mobility of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is empowering, but you go through that period of just being disempowered, you know, until you accept yourself the way you are, you know. Because people do tell you, oh, the car is here, and they don't know exactly how to treat you anymore, and they, you know, it's just this whole transition that's very difficult.
Either that or they start pulling you by the arm, going, come on this way, come on that way. Yeah, or don't you see it over there? No, I don't. I just can kind of laugh at it, but they're going, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like, well,
mm-hmm.
no, don't
mm-hmm.
be sorry, it's okay. It's just a matter of fact. That's just one of the things I experience with people. It's like all this apologetic when, you know, they forgot that I couldn't see something. Because they've known me for so long. Yeah, I have some friends that literally have said, you know, it's like, if you didn't have that cane in your hand, I'd forget completely you're blind because you're acting normal. I'm like, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
My personality hasn't changed, and I'm sure yours didn't either. You know, the personality doesn't change. Just the outward physical. There's a little piece of the mental that needs, because sometimes we do have to rely on other people. And, you know, but a lot of times we can still be very independent. And yet, you know, we go, okay, there is this part, and I have to be maybe a little more careful, a little more cautious when I go out, because you don't really pay attention to that cane. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
I understand that. So what was the hardest piece of the addiction for you?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, what was the hardest part for you in making whatever adaptation you had to in life? Was it the cane? Was it the braille? Was it losing the hearing? What was the hardest part for you in?
I think losing my hearing, it was just as frightening to me, if not more, than losing my vision. I had 25 years to get used to losing my vision, you know. But losing my hearing was something I hadn't anticipated on, and thing I've struggled the most with since. Because it's just really hard when people have to keep repeating themselves, and it makes me feel like I'm not tuned in or something, you know. And especially as a teacher, you know, like when I remember my principal came in when I was teaching Spanish, and she she mentioned afterwards that sometimes I didn't correct the students, or she didn't think that I heard them, and I felt so ashamed. It's like I felt like I had done something wrong, you know, and you know, I just, it was really really hard for me to admit that I couldn't hear and that I sort of adapted as well, you know, and I'm still in that adapting mode, but it, I think harder, more, it's more difficult than vision is my hearing loss, you know, I'm still trying to pretend sometimes, you know, and it's, it's just really, and sometimes I feel like, oh, goodness, you know, oh, if it's not my vision, if I'm not tripping over something, or as the other day, trying to open a door that didn't exist. I can laugh about those things, you know, but my hearing is like, one time I was offered a job at a really nice Ivy League school, and I thought, oh, finally I'm getting a job that I really, really want. And they sent me this wonderful letter. And I went there. It was like on the other side of the state. And I arrived early. And I had memorized their website in case they asked me any questions about it. And the one question she asked me was, are you here for the interview? And I said, no, thank you. And I thought she had asked me if I wanted some coffee or something like that. I just sort of filled in the blank. And you know what? So I sat there, and, you know, later she came, the woman came to interview me, and she was so shocked. She said, you weren't here early. I did not get the job. It took me a while before I could laugh about that. But those are the kind of things that I don't admit to not hearing, you know, and it gets me in trouble. You know, but I think I'm getting a little bit better at admitting. And So both of them have their ups and downs. I guess you just take it day by day, and you retain a sense of humor about it.
So what did you do specifically to adapt your life? Let's start first with the blindness. What kinds of things could you do to be able to live independently? You mentioned the apartment that was built on top of your family home. But what else could you do? Let's start with the
Okay, well, the lighting. I work on lighting. I have a lot of bright lighting around me. I work. I have a large computer screen so that I could see the computer with enlarged icons. I use my cane, which I feel is a really great tool. I have magnifying glasses. I find drivers who can take me places. My brother is a really good one to do that for me. And those are some of the ways I do with my vision. With my hearing, I have hearing aids that I wear now, and which are provided from the state. And I guess those are the main ways I do it. I have to compensate more and more for my vision loss now because it's pretty pronounced. but it's kind of, you know, like when you, if you compare it to language, you know, you just learned enough language to be dangerous. That's the same thing with my vision. I've just lost enough vision to be dangerous. You know, one time I had a speaking engagement. And I walked off the stage. I was really excited about what I was saying. And luckily, I landed in a place that was just between the, like a communion service and the stage. So it was very, and I landed upright. So, you know, those kinds of things happen, you know. But,
you know, I have to right. you share just, with you what I went. When I went to the Ponzi Music Awards 4 years ago, I was dealing with the legal blindness at that point. And I took my friend Jillian with me, the co-writer and the vocalist of that song, and I told her, I have two things for you. I said, first of all, please make sure I look presentable and look professional. That was the first one. Mm-hmm. And do not let me walk off the stage and fall. Those were her two assignments. So literally, when we did, like, they did a little bit of a setup and where are we going to stand, and, you know, as an interpreter, they've never had an interpreter there before. I was interpreting for the concerts. And it's like, okay, where will I stand? How close am I to the edge? you know, they wanted me to move forward, and I'm like, you guys, I can't, you know, I said to some of the performers, I can't see the end of the stage. You know, I kind of had, like you said, that was my biggest fear, is that I would fall and hurt myself and make a fool of me and the performer. So I totally get what you're saying on that. No, you can't keep your cane on stage necessarily. At least for me, I couldn't at that point. I couldn't, you know, I kind of took it up and put it off to the side so nobody would see it. But if you're talking, you know, it's kind of hard to talk with your cane in your hand. You know, later.
Oh,
later.
My.
So, yeah. I hear you. Well, do you still do
when I
work or?
Sorry?
Yeah, you do. You have some speaking engagements and things now that you do, you know, stage work. So how do you adjust for those now? So that doesn't happen again.
Well, I to do like work. What kind, like teaching? You mean or?
Well, you know, you're an author. You're a speaker now.
That's right.
Okay, I see. So, happening again, you know, I'm sure you've, again, made some adaptations. You know, this is for anybody that might be, you know, people lose their sight, lose their hearing as they get older, or, you know, and unexpectedly there are accidents, whatever. I'm just trying to give some people some tips on what they can do, you know, if they find themselves or they know someone in this kind of situation.
Well, I think first of all, people have to alert people to the problems that they're having, so that others will know and they can help. You know, lighting helps. Putting things in the same place helps. Walking with someone helps, like for an elderly person. You know, like taking the arm. Some other tips are. Those are the things that come off the top of my head. And I think just working together so that things are not moved around. Because when things are moved around, you have no idea where they are, you know, because you have a mind map in your head, you know. And the lighting is a very big thing, you know. Organization, your organization, and those are the ones that come off the top of my head. Hearing is a little bit different. You know, I always advise people to, when you're going out in a restaurant, to go in a low volume noise area. You know, like in the corner or something where you're not going to get all the ambient noise. You know. And and to look at that person when you're speaking, and to have people look at you, and you really almost read lips, but you don't know that you're doing that, you know. And so I always tell them to be in good lighting, you know, and make sure that it's not very dark, you know. And those are mainly what I've said so far.
Okay. And then, you know, the question I was going to ask you, because I've already kind of prepped you on this. As you know, my next career is to be a sign language interpreter. So
yes.
with all your languages, you know, is that something you would consider now, is to pick up the sign language and American Sign Language and learn or overseas even?
Yes, you know, that would be really exciting. I think because I like languages, so that would be kind of a natural outlet for me. I never considered it before you mentioned it. But, wow, that's kind of exciting. It still gives me hope because I can try something new. I can, you know, I can still, infuse hope in people and in myself that I have a purpose, that you know, my purpose is changing, you know, as these things become, more pronounced in my life. And I always want to move forward, you know, and not limit myself. So, yeah, I find that very exciting. And I want to move forward on that as one option.
And it was something that I found out a couple of weekends ago. I went to a workshop in Chicago. And, you know, they're deaf-blind interpreting is a field into itself. Yes, it overlaps with those that do regular deaf interpreting for those who are deaf, hard of hearing. But deaf-blind has its own unique challenges to it. And, you know, the timing of your getting a hold of me, and, I mean, yes, you and I have connected on Facebook, and again, through Writers and Nonfiction or some other groups along the way, you know, I just kind of chatted. But I had not realized that, you know, you had the hearing loss as well until we really got to the, you know, I got your bio and we were able to talk a little bit. And it was just amazing that the timing on that was like right after I went to the workshop. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, so never know again. I say this almost every show, and I have to reiterate again. We never know what something we do is, you know, how it's going to help another person or help ourselves to understand someone differently. You know, had I not gone there, I may not have known what to ask him yet, but, you know, there was interest for me in the deaf blind stuff after going blind, you know, and dealing with all of that. But, it, you know, there's got a waiting list for her speakers. If you do pretty much completely lose your hearing in your sight, there's a tactile thing there now that speakers are using to indicate, you know, the interpreter indicates what the audience is doing. As far as raising hands, as far as laughing, as far, so that you get the same energy in the audience as you see or hear them. You know, speakers who are excited, you know, when someone's falling asleep. You can adapt, and this is the thing that was said. You can, as a sighted speaker, you can adapt your speech. Because you see, you know, two or three people nodding up. They might tell a joke, wake them all up, do something, you know, to break the energy. You might take a break and just get people up and grabbing something to drink or, you know, restroom break or whatever to break that, you know, because it's not necessarily the topic that you're doing. Sometimes it's just the environment. Sometimes it's just been a long day, whatever. You know, for someone who's deaf, you know, they can't hear when the group is laughing. They might be able to see it somewhat, but you can't hear the snickers sometimes and know whether your folks are getting home or being understood. You know, and when you have deaf and blind combined in that, you lose kind of all of that without someone saying, hey, this is what's going on. And like I said, there's this new tactile, fairly new, anyway, way of interpreting that, you know. So I don't see you changing much of anything you're doing. I just see forward and you know, as being something that you can just continue providing to the world. And I am excited for you and can't wait to hear, you know, your next book and your next adventure and what that's going to mean.
Yeah, I really believe that also that our connection is just sort of the timing is just so great, you know. And I had one person talk to me about that deaf interpreting tactile. And, you know, it's a beginning when you first think about it, it's a little scary, you know. I mean, to think that you might need that or, you know, that it. But then you think if you look at it like the way that it's a tool, you know, it's completely different.
Right.
Again, God is giving you another tool to move forward and to fill a need, you know. Yeah.
I keep that independence going. So I just want to remind people of get a hold of you and call into the show if they're interested. If you want to call in, please do so at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. If you are listening on Skype, please press 1, and we'll know that you have a question for Amy. And if you wish to put some comments in the chat room, you're welcome to do that.
and or over on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations in the post that's pinned, the thread that's pinned to the top of that group. So there's lots of ways you can talk, you can share, you can make your comments, you can question, and hopefully there's, you know, a few more people that want to get involved in this conversation. Because, you know, I am willing to bet either anyone listening knows someone who is or has lost their sight or their hearing, because it's not as uncommon as people think. Like you said, sometimes people cover it up because they don't want to admit. They don't want to admit they might lose their independence. That's exactly it. They don't want to admit they might have to even temporarily rely on someone till they get the skills that they need. And sometimes it gets pretty late. So, yeah. So I hope a couple people call in here and get some other suggestions from you. Okay. Now let's go to what are you doing now? Are you still teaching? So you're writing. What are you doing now that... in your space, in your purpose?
I am now just starting my speaking engagement to become a speaker, and I am writing a second book called A Sight for Sore Eyes, and it's about kind of the mishaps in my life, and it's just saying that there is life after, losing vision, just keep a sense of humor about it, keep it in perspective, and I am also writing some books about, I'm writing a book about my dad. And so I'm kind of moving in that direction, speaking and writing. And I'm writing also my travel memoir, which is Fading Light, traveling with vision loss, like living overseas, and the kind of, my quote-unquote predicament that I got in, like taking the subway and kind of running into people, little Japanese ladies, and that kind of thing. How did I survive without telling anybody?
Yeah, that still would be my question.
Yeah. So I'm working in a lot of different areas, and just trying to feel my way around a new career. Churches, just showing how God is working in my life to meet my needs as I go along. So he's just giving me enough information that I can take the next step and trusting him. And, I have like a threefold goal is to encourage other vision impaired speakers, and it's to encourage anyone who needs encouraged, and also to bridge the gap between those who hear well and see well, and the hearing impaired and vision impaired. So I kind of found when I started blogging that a lot of people didn't know what it's like, and so I felt like it's kind of up to me to put people at ease with it,
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of started launching a bridge.
Okay. And it's an interesting phenomenon of folks that have this, quote-unquote, disability. It's like the those with hearing loss, will not accept the term hearing impaired. They think it's, derogatory, discriminatory. It's like it's either deaf or hard of hearing. Yeah, it's either deaf or hard of hearing. You can have culturally deaf folks that were born, born deaf and live in the deaf community, right? And then, of course, there's those that lose their hearing later, latent deaf folks that, and they're not culturally, so it's a capital D or a lowercase d, it all fits in there, and then, it's hard of hearing for some reason, that's their preferences. And yet, on the blind community, visually impaired is an okay term. They don't consider it derogatory. It's like, so there's just this impairment. It's just a characteristic. Again, depending upon which of the national organizations you're a part of, it's just like, it's just a characteristic. Okay, it's pretty obvious because I got this cane in my hand that, there's some impairment. So, hey, Whereas I think think, and this is my take on this a little bit, that the deaf community is more of, it's not a visual struggle for them. It's like, if I can avoid it, you know, I'm going to, if I have to lip read, okay, I'll try it. If I have to have an interpreter with me, guess what? I'm darn well going to have an interpreter with me. And I will communicate with you just fine. You know, and then you see, you know, the vision is the, you know, the canes and learning to guide and being able to say, hey, you know, please don't pull me by my arm. Let me, grab your elbow or hang on to your elbow so we both don't go down and fall. If you fall, I can let go. You know, all these kinds of things, too, that we want to teach community.
That's right.
So,
It's like entering another country. You know, if you have to learn so many new things. You know, I just read the other day about this big H and little H. I had never heard of that, you know. So it's like, especially with hearing, it's really like it's culturally new to me, you know. And the same thing with when I first started using my cane, the whole world of being vision impaired was new to me as well. And it's like you don't know which world you're in. You're not in the sighted world. You're not in the blind world, you know. So you're sort of in between. So you're feeling your footing, just like you do with, you know, in another country. You just like you don't know exactly what's right, what's wrong to say and do, and then you've got like these fears,
right?
You know. So it's all exploring, you know, and trying and testing and learning and you know, it's just, oh, my gosh, it's just, yeah, it's exactly like being in another country.
like that. That's a good way to look at that.
That's a cool positive spin on that. Yeah, you're traversing a new community and a new country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what specifically else to ask you. I'm not seeing any of our wonderful listeners. Yes, I do. Let me try that again. Person that's called in, not in there. Okay. One of the questions someone has put in the chat room says, have a question for your adorable guest. I unfortunately missed the beginning and didn't catch the part about her losing her hearing and how is she able to hear. And exactly at this point, you know, that wasn't a question. Thank you. How are you able to actually hear the conversation that we're having today? You know, I think you kind of answered it, but maybe not.
Yeah. Well, you can see I have a little bit of trouble hearing, but I have my hearing aids, and with them, I have like 91% hearing. So I have both my hearing aids in, and I have on my phone, it's like to adapt to hearing aids. So those things help me, you know.
Okay.
And I'm close to my phone.
Is there a point where they're saying the hearing aids won't work or that a cochlear implant would work better for you, or is it just going to go away eventually?
Oh, I think I would try the cochlear.
Don't they know?
Yeah. I would like to try that. What is it, a cochlear implant? Yeah, I'd like to try
cochlear
that.
Cochlear implant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at that point, it ends up being, the controversy behind that is it's something that gets attached to your brain, and it's a brain surgery, so.
Yeah, I would take the risk. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a risk taker. Interesting. Yeah.
Good. That's cool. And I know a couple people that have done it, and have had some very good success.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't speak now? That wasn't you not hearing, folks. That was me stuttering. I've had some good success with it. And others, you know, others it doesn't work for. Again, it depends on the type of hearing loss and everything else. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But our questioning person said that that's amazing that you can still do all this, you know.
You know, the whole thing of having Usher syndrome is I'm just learning about that now more and more. That, you know, Usher syndrome is the dual loss, like the vision impairment and the hearing. I have the third, like there are different types of it. I have the third type, which means that my hearing is progressive, like my vision loss, you know. And so a lot of people maybe get this when they're young or in their teenage years, but I didn't learn about it until I was nearly 50 years old, you know. So so that whole thing of most people have a have like who have many people who have Usher syndrome have since they lost their hearing first, their biggest problem is the vision. That's when they get the vision impairment, you know, the RP, the retinitis pigmentosa, the progressive vision loss, you know. For me, it's opposite. That's why it's so difficult for me, the hearing loss, because I had, as I told you, I had all those 25 years to sort of get little used to it little by little. But now they have, they've been slammed with the vision loss afterwards. So, you know, they have difficulty, others have difficulty admitting the vision loss, you know. And it's kind of like it just when you get these things, when you find out about them, and that's frustrating, you know. My Usher syndrome group is just writing a book about how they are adapting to different things, you know. And it's very enlightening to listen to read the emails about what they're talking about, where they're coming from, you know. So you're learning all the time.
One of those causes more of a tunnel vision than it does just a visual loss, correct? It comes, one comes from the outside in, and, you know, it's not just a graying over of your eyesight. It
mm-hmm.
blackens
that's
the
right.
sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
for me, everything
you may
is grainy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really weird. That tunnel is, like, for me, everything is turns, like, well, of course, in the dark, it's nothing. I see nothing. But in the when I look, everything is like smoke. I'm looking through smoke. I'm looking through green. It's really cloudy. You know, it's like it's, and that's all the tunnel is forming. I guess that's what's happening. So, you know, everything becomes less and less clear, and then the darkness begins. You know what I mean? The tunnel.
Right.
So I'm like in that. Initial stages where the tunnel is just, that's what I say, the tunnel is just forming now.
Right. Hang on a second. We have a caller for you, and I'm going to just put the caller directly on at this point because they didn't indicate they want to. And then we'll continue with, see what they've got to say. Hello, caller. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. You are on
Hello,
the air
how are you? Hello.
I'm all right, and how are you doing?
Hey, my name's Matt. I'm from Maryland.
Hi, Matt.
And
I have a question
for Amy. We're actually friends on Facebook, and I read her book, and it's really a good book. It really blessed me. I just want to say that. But what I was wondering is I have retinitis pigmentosa as well, and I'm 99% blind, and also have a 60% hearing loss, but I'm not really sure about how to go, you know, to get a diagnosis for Usher's or not. So I was just wondering, how did they test her for Usher syndrome?
The question is, how they tested for me was they had a hearing test, and I had a doctor look in my ears, and that he didn't do it to me. No, it's genetically done, but he just said that was his best guess that I had it, you know, from when I, from whatever he saw in my ears and my hearing loss itself. So he deducted or deduced that I had it, yeah. But they mostly it's done by genetics now.
And I thought it was interesting how you said early in the interview about, you know, people thought you were drunk, you know, when your eyes got a little worse and you wanted to, you know, not have people think that because of your job. I know early in my stages, I got drunk and would rather people think I was drunk than blind.
Yeah. Yeah. And because I come from a small town, so, you know, like, your reputation is right there. You know?
Yeah. More under a microscope, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
So how much hearing or vision loss do you have at this point, Matt?
I lost 99% of my vision and 60% of my hearing.
Okay.
So, and I'm trying to figure out if it's ushers or not, because, you know, I know when I was younger, I listened to a lot of loud music. My mom always said, you know, hey, that music's going to make you go deaf. And I don't know if it's that or if it's ushers at this point, but I'd like to know, you know.
Yeah. Which did you, were you born with? Both being an issue? Probably not if you're talking about me hearing the music well, so.
Yeah, so I mean, it might be environmental, but the I was diagnosed with RP when I was 21, which was 33 years ago. So it's been, you know, I've had it for a while.
You're just late, too, late diagnosis.
Mm.
Okay. Well, yeah, hopefully, you know, you can get that checked out and you can, like you said, find out if there's a way, if it's not ushers, if there's a way, you know, to help with the hearing, whether it be the hearing aids or cochlear or, this, again, too, you know, the sign language and the braille and all that kind of stuff to help you cope.
Right. Yeah, I need to look into more of that. Yeah, I do. I use a cane right now. But,
okay.
You know, I need to look into more like the braille and maybe the hearing aids and things like that. Well, anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah,
thank you,
Amy.
It was nice talking to you. Okay. Bye.
Great. Thank you for calling. All right. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what state he was in, but, you know, there are, Matt or anybody else, there are a lot of organizations and agencies that are out there to help folks with both a visual or hearing loss. I know for the blind, there's National Federation of the Blind, the American Council of the Blind. There's a third one, and I'm blanking out. Somebody's going to clobber me if I miss it. But
the FFB, Foundation for Fighting Blindness. Foundation for Fighting Blindness.
That's one, too. A lot of the what do they call them, lighthouse places are specifically set up for blind, visually impaired folks and or offer them jobs, you know, that are available in their government jobs. So, therefore, a lot of it is piecework, but some of it is, you know, a decent wage as opposed to having to collect disability, or it subsidizes the disability and or the disability subsidized the job so that, you know, you can survive and live productive lives and independently and in your own homes and all that kind of thing. I know for the hearing loss, again, you know, there's the Helen, and for both actually, there's the Helen Keller Research Center. You know, for the hearing loss, we have Alexander Graham Bell for those that wish to keep speaking and using an oral method. There's a lot of different deaf clubs in a lot of in most of the states, you know, that have the bigger cities, although some of those are, you know, starting to collapse too because people don't need to be face to face anymore. They have the technology of Skype or Glide or things like that that they can use that are visual ways to keep people connected. You know, in Milwaukee, we have a Deaf Blind Society. Our organization, which is pretty cool, Center for Deaf Blind Persons, out here, and you know, I would think there are some on other in other cities as well. Again, where you can connect and get your resources that are out there for you, you know, whatever that may mean. You know, and I hope people do take the time. You know, again, it's scary to reach out. It's scary to make that admission of, oh my God, something's going wrong here. I mean, still, even when you know, I get the threads coming in my eyes, like, I don't want to go to the eye doctor. I don't want to tell me it's going bad again. You know, whatever. Sometimes it's better to find out the good news, as that there is some way to prevent, slow down make the sight or the hearing a little crisper. You know, sometimes it is glasses or a hearing aid, tweaking that. You know, make it better so you can do what you want to do. And sometimes at least then they'll say, they might say, no, there's nothing we can do, but then you've got that answer too. So, you know, I don't know if you have some other resources you wanted to share with folks.
Well,
that you're aware of?
I think that people need to really check into their local Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services. They are so helpful, you know. They actually really my cane trainer was completely 100% blind, and he was the most wonderful resource for me after I get over my fear of the word blind, you know. And he was just so amazing, and he would model like how I should respond to people, you know, and I have to put people at ease because they're not going to, you know, put me, you know, it really has to be me taking the initiative. And they had a job counselor, and they had a life skills trainer. She's the one that taught me Braille. It just was a whole package that really helps you get through this journey of not knowing who you are anymore and adapting from the old person, the person that you thought that you were, to the person that you are now, and that you're the same person. You're just, as you said, being to different things outwardly, you know, but your personality is still the same, you know, and they help me get there, you know, to where I can, my personality could emerge again, and I could be confident and, you know, continue forward and see, you know, all of the blessings that God has given me and share that with other people, you know.
Cool.
So that, and the book that I've written, is this a good time to talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead. Actually, let me just throw in National Federation of Blind, the American Foundation for the Blind, and the American Council for the Blind. Those were the three big ones. And then, of course, your local office for blind and visually impaired, or your local office for the deaf and hard of hearing also are the two big ones, because there are those in all major metro communities because of federal regulations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And then, of course, your the workforce development also working under that of the Department of Vocational Rehab to make sure that you can do some work that is suitable to yourself, your personality, and what you want to do for your careers. So those are the big ones that I wanted to make sure we mentioned. So, yes, so go on. What is your – talk a bit about your book and what you've done with that.
Okay. My book is called Stepping Out in Faith. It's called Mobility Matters, Stepping Out in Faith. Because once I started using the cane again, then as I progressed through my cane training, I could feel my independence coming back to me. I didn't have to depend. Now, one of my biggest fears was that I would be kind of like a burden to my family, or, you know, that I would be the one that people were coming to help. But it didn't turn out that way. When I could continue with my career, I was a teacher. You know, I continued teaching. I continued, I just continued doing the things that I liked doing. My life didn't stop, you know. And that's what my book is about. It's about God meeting my needs where I am. And each step, and it's about actually the adventures in cane training, basically. And that, you know, and the little, you know, how people would encourage me, just like going through a turnstile or something. And when one woman said, well, you're getting to be a really great blind gal. You know? I mean, just really strange things, but that God put people in my path to give me confidence and to, like, regain my confidence. And getting through this period of time with two new jobs and my coworkers, how they viewed me after I started using a cane, but how we sort of came to this new me, this new, like, they understood more about what it was, how to help a vision impaired person, and I came to like myself again. You know what I mean? Because You just you're so sometimes you feel so apologetic when you do these things. When you run into something or that whole book, the whole book is about my journey of re-accepting myself, the way that I am, the way that I was, the faults and weaknesses, and God can use all of that to fill you with confidence and give, again, your purpose, and to reform your purpose in life. My purpose used to be to travel the world and understand cultures, and now it's to travel the world and the world in my backyard and my streets and understand the culture of being losing vision and losing hearing and helping people to understand that. Like instead of bridging cultural gaps between countries and nations, I bridge the gap between hearing and vision impaired, whatever you call it with hearing. But I mean,
deaf, hard of hearing, yes.
Yeah. And I just see, like, God changes our focus, literally and figuratively. I don't know what, but, he uses in our life the obstacles. He makes us stronger, and he if we allow him to work in it, and that's what my book is about. It's a book of faith, a book of encouragement, a book of discovery for myself that I do have a life, a strong life, and a strong purpose, And all of the things that I did before enable me to move forward in my new career, The teaching enables me to be a speaker, and my writing enables me to communicate. So all of it is just, I think it's just God bringing things together for this point in my life, and that's what my book is about. And it celebrates, I overcame a lot of, I don't know if they're prejudices or thoughts or whatever towards blindness, because my mobility trainer, he really taught me so much about there are no limitations unless we put them on ourselves, We can overcome these different obstacles or get help or whatever, but sometimes we have to depend on others. Sometimes others depend on us, So and there's a quote from the Bible that was talking about God will show us paths that by ways we have not known. And that's what I discovered towards the end of my book, that God is showing me a path, and he does that for every one of us, So that's the message, kind of. It's a positive, real positive message. It's called
Okay, so now I'm going to turn this around, and I'm going to ask the question that I always ask people at the beginning, because now is the time to ask it for you. At what point, where did you discover now that you have this new purpose? What caused, the obvious is the physical changes, but where in all of this, or how did you get that aha moment that went, hey, this is, it's just traversing different worlds from what I originally thought I was going to be going through. Mm-hmm. When did that point come for you?
I think it came, it's been gradual, but probably when I finished my book, when I was writing my book, that at that point I started to have faith that I could see everything coming, like different pieces of a puzzle fitting together, and it was through the writing of it that I realized that this is my purpose. Everything I've gone through has brought me to this point, And 25 years of fearing losing my vision, and all of a sudden I didn't fear it anymore, I was ready to move forward with whatever weaknesses that I had. It wasn't like that fear, that unknown kind of tugging at you. All of a sudden I found courage, And so it was like 2015. I finished my book 2014, but it's kind of the journey of my new purpose started when I had my teen training in 2009, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't until I finished my book that I had that, I knew that I had the confidence to move forward, you know.
Yeah. I got to say, you are giving me inspiration, so, you know, I really appreciate having you here and,
mm-hmm.
you know, sharing all that you're going through and all that you're going to be, because I can't, you know,
mm-hmm.
it just didn't
yeah.
make very much an inspiration. You know, I can't
it's
see
such a
the
pleasure.
Next
yeah,
step
I really,
in your journey.
I'm so sorry I couldn't be on Skype. But
well, the Skype doesn't really matter. I mean, that doesn't matter. It's a voice Skype anyway. It's not a video Skype, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah.
the uh-huh. voice still comes through, so that's no big deal.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. some of my guests get on there, and most of them actually use the phone. I don't even use the Skype anymore because of bouncing around and doing all that I need to do with this show. When I get a computer
uh-huh.
back again, maybe I'll do it, and maybe I won't, you know. As long as my phone, knock on something, cooperates, I'm in good shape. But
mm-hmm.
you didn't even know it. I did lose a call at one point, and luckily you were talking at the time, so I could just dial right back in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know it. So, you know, that's the disadvantage of the phones is they can disconnect a lot faster. But that's okay. It worked well. So, last chance, folks. If you have a question, 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And what I do every week, Amy, is an affirmation for people. And I thought I had one, and it went away about as fast as I had it. So I don't know if you have something you'd like to put out there, an I am statement for our folks. As we go through the week, if not, we can kind of create one together here from what you said.
I think with walking by faith without without sight, through to your purpose. Each day is a new day that I'm stepping out in faith, you know, asking God to show me what to do, asking Him to bring things together and help me to be aware of His presence, to know, you know, how to reach out to others and, you know, what to write about. So I think it's walking by faith, in spite of being without sight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and to try to make it a little more general for all of our folks,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking here, you know, I'm walking my purpose through faith no matter what I see or hear or not.
That's right. Very good. Yeah.
Or don't, actually, more grammatically correct,
yeah.
or don't.
Yeah. It doesn't
Writers
matter
here.
What
we need to have
it. You know,
okay.
It doesn't matter. Mine happens to be hearing and vision, but whatever obstacle, God is going to work it out in your life, you know, and that's what I believe. And that He will show us how to move forward, you know, and we just do that by stepping out in faith, literally, figuratively, whatever, you know.
Actually, I like that better. I hadn't hit enter yet, so, yeah, I'm walking through my purpose with faith, no matter what my personal obstacle may be. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I like that even better.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, my book can be bought on Amazon. It's in small, regular print and large print. And
Ooh.
You can also go to my website, amygobert.com.
Okay. And where else can... Okay, they can contact you on your website.
Yes, that's right. I blog every day, or try to, and I'm on Facebook.
It says amybovard.com.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. And I'm Amy Levere Author on Facebook. So just look up that, they'll find me.
All righty. Cool. Anything else we need to share?
No, I think that covers it. It's a, yeah, really interesting.
Awesome.
Opportunity.
Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your journey into the world.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm sure we will continue to keep in touch. And hopefully some of these, I shared in a bunch of the blind groups. You can't quite share in the deaf groups, unfortunately, because they can't hear the show. Someday maybe we'll be able to do that, figure out how we can, you know, do a video version of my show and interpret it or something. I don't know. I'll have to really work on that someday. And see what happens. But for now, it'll just be, it's just going to have to be the audio stuff. So,
Is this being recorded? Can people listen to it later?
It sure is. It's at exactly the same link as the original show was. So anybody that has seen the link, you just go back to the same place.
Okay.
And all the promos and stuff. So you can just go that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's available indefinitely. And I do keep the Facebook, the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations thread on the top of the page until next week when I, you know, send out the next promo for the next show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll move it off the top. And it'll stay on the page. It'll just get moved down. So anybody can comment on that as they go through the archives, too, if they find something else that they want to comment on or that resonated with them or whatever. And feel free yourself, too, to type anything in there that I didn't really comment this time and I was going to, it, and I probably will still will later. Anybody can put things in there or questions for you and then get back to you that way as well. So,
great.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you. I'm going to put you back on hold as I wrap up the end of this show with a couple more things and let people know who's coming up next week and things like that. So, thank you again.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, folks, thank you. That was Amy Levered, author, speaker, teacher, who just happens to be blind and losing her hearing. Oh, well, she doesn't let it stop her. She hasn't made her life, stop because of it. Instead, she has continued to find her destiny, her goal. And instead of traveling worldwide, as she used to with teaching people, in English as a second language. She is now traveling and speaking more about traversing the world between those who can hear and can't hear and those who can see and can't see. And it is just, to me, it's a very inspiring journey. Yes, I've had my times where I couldn't see. Yes, I'm working in a world with the deaf and the hard of hearing. But, you know, to really hear someone speak about their personal journey and what it's meant to them and where they're going to go with it is always inspiring to me. Every week we bring someone different onto this show. And every week I probably learn as much as you all do as listeners about living purpose. And getting over whatever obstacle there is. Because we all have them. We all have something that stands, that tries to stand in our way and block our path of what we believe we're destined to do. But if we can walk around that, if we can use that guiding stick of listening to the voice within us, of saying and having the faith to say, you know, okay, I still have this dream. How can I live it differently with whatever this obstacle is, if it means changing that? Or how can I still make this work in spite of something standing in my way? You know, there's an old children's song I kind of think of once in a while on some of this stuff. You know, it's either going on a lion hunt or going on a bear hunt. You know, I can't go around, I can't go through it, can't go under it, can't go over it, whatever, got to go through it. And no matter what, we got to go through it. You got to go through the grasses and the trees and the water and the muck and the whatever to get to the other side, to get to living your purpose. And I'm always grateful for those who are on this show and talk about their purpose, because it is something that keeps me going every single week. You know, we air this show Friday, noon Pacific time, Eastern 8 p.m. in the U.K. And it keeps me going. If any of you are out there and want to be a guest on our show, please do get a hold of me. You can do that through our website, which is PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. My direct email is Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com. If you'd like to advertise your services, your products to our community as well, we do have a marketing package, and you are welcome to get a hold of me about that or check out the website to get the specifics on that. The link, as I mentioned, for this show, if you'd like to listen to it again, and you're listening live and you want to listen to it again, please do go back to the same link again in about 10 minutes after the show ends, and you can hear the show all over. And then feel free to put your comments in a Facebook group called the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. We keep those links up, keep those threads going throughout the week if somebody wants to, and they stay there indefinitely, because the chat room, once we close down this show, will no longer keep those comments. The ones that were made, I'm going to copy those, try to copy those, and let Amy see those, because I know she wasn't able to do all of that at one time. And I think that's pretty much what's going on there. My guest next week is Kent Hinckley. Some of you are familiar with Sharon Hinckley, who has been helping out periodically as the producer for the show, especially when Jan was doing it. And her husband, Kent, has a book. He talks about his experiences in Vietnam and how he has determined that his purpose is to share that with the world. And he will be the guest next week. And up the road from that, I've got a couple of people that are hemming and hawing on dates, so we'll see how that works out. And I think, boy, that might bring this show to an end. If I forgot something, somebody help me. I don't have producers here to give me my little tickler list anymore. It's all on my computer that is no longer here. Oh, and updates on that, folks. I appreciate those that were able to help out with the GoFundMe. It is still up there. I'm trying to replace the computer and the cameras and the things like that were stolen right after Christmas, and trying to get my life back together so that I can continue doing all of the things that I am meant to do, including doing my schoolwork and things. But in the meantime, we continue to be in a computer lab, or yeah, it sounds like I'm in the coffee shop, doesn't it, as there's grinding behind us. Joy's pencil sharpener. Hey, that's what happens at a school. But it all continues. So, having said all of that, our theme song is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. The vocalist that you will hear is Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez, and I join her in writing this song. They will be at the Posse Music Awards the weekend of February 28th through March 2nd. Any of you that are in the Tampa Bay area, please do consider stopping down there and find out what positive music can do to your life and how it can change your life as well. That is the music that we do write as True Trinity. You can find our website at TRUETRINITY.com. Yeah, positive music, yes. It's not the only thing I listen to anymore. Music that inspires, that has a message, that tells a story. So, folks, with that, I bid you all soul blessings and have a great week. Thank you for listening.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.